Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Hour number two on this Thursday in Las Vegas, the capital of Raider Nation, on the flagship of your Las Vegas Raiders. That, of course, is Raider Nation Radio. This is Silver and Black Today. Scott Culbranson, Evan Grote with you today, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash. Check them out at samandashlaw.com, the injury attorneys that I trust. Make sure you reach out if you need them. There is no one better. We are back. We are talking about Deshaun Watson. We are talking about now quarterback movement in the NFL. Could be. We were talking about it yesterday with Hondo Carpenter, that this year, the movement at the quarterback position could be massive. Before we get to that, though, Evan, as you know, you make your living in physical education, right? Of educating young minds around how to be healthy, how to be active, right?
That's correct. And we're actually, I also teach health, and right now we're actually doing our nutrition unit. So I think that's a good segue for about what you're about to talk about here.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You talk about nutrition and nutrition for the entire family. When it comes to that in my household, and for me, it is starts with Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. Dr. Jen's are convenient snacks or for meal replacement. I use them as my lunch. I don't have a big lunch. I have a Dr. Jen's protein bar every day for lunch. It gets me through the show. It's certified gluten-free. I have a son who has celiac disease. He has to be gluten-free. It's not a choice. And so he can enjoy these. And if you have a gluten intolerance or you just don't like eating it, they're certified gluten-free. Also, natural ingredients, all of it. No artificial sweeteners, no sugar, alcohols, or any of that chemical aftertaste stuff that you get in a lot of protein bars out there. It contains superfoods like spinach, kale, and quinoa, high in antioxidants, and it's formulated to taste great. This is not like going out and picking up a piece of wood off the ground and eating it like some of these protein bars I've been exposed to. No, these things taste great. There's a variety of flavors no matter what you like. High protein helps you sustain energy without the sugar crash, and also has great quality fiber to keep you full so you're not going to cheat and do the sweets like I used to do. So make sure you check out Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. You can buy them at a discount because you listen to this show. That's right. You can go to drjensnutrition.com and use the code SBT for Silver Black Today, 10, and you get a discount. Plus, you get free shipping. If you're in Las Vegas, if you're in the Valley, you can go to Vegas Discount Nutrition and find them. You can also go to all the terrible herbs throughout the Valley, which are everywhere, and pick one up. As you gas up your car, you can pick up some great healthy nutrition. Skip the candy bar, skip the cupcakes, skip the donuts, and go get a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. So thank you for them. They are members of Raider Nation, season ticket holders out at Allegiant Stadium, and I would appreciate if you support them because they support us. And they support Raider Nation. All right, so Evan, we're breaking this down, and again, you guys can get in on this conversation. So far, we have six that say you have to kick the tires on at least asking. Not that it's going to happen. We're not advocating for it to happen. At least I'm not. But if you at least have to make the call about Deshaun Watson now, knowing that he's available. Now, I had somebody tweet at me. They've said they're not going to move him. Well, guys, hello. It's called business. It's called negotiation, Evan, right? Of course, you're the Texans. You're going to say, no, we're not going to trade him because you want everybody to call you and you want to drive the price up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to happen. The player is going to dictate what happens here. I don't care what the organization is saying. Deshaun Watson has come out and said he wants out. That relationship cannot be saved at this point. It's over and done with. They're going to move him. As I said at the top of the show, it's only a matter of the trade compensation at this point, the players they're going to get in return, and when it happens. It will happen. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and if you look at, by the way, 702-365-9200 is the number for you to call in with your points, your viewpoint, your POV, if you will, from Raider Nation. We want to hear. So far, every caller has been in favor of making the call. I'd love to hear from somebody who says, nah, we shouldn't even do it. We have our quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. We can win with Derek Carr, which personally I believe they can. So I want to hear from you too. If you disagree with even considering a Deshaun Watson trade, let us know why. 702-365-9200. Also, Evan, you know, the Deshaun Watson is kind of the tip of the iceberg, and it's the biggest name out there. But if you start to look around the NFL, this could be the largest migration of quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, in the NFL in a long time. And I wonder, I have a premise for why that's true, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I mean, you look at some of these names, of course, Watson. Now Jared Goff has kind of been put on notice in Los Angeles. Here's a guy who went to the Super Bowl, has won multiple playoff games for the Los Angeles Rams. He has a big deal that doesn't kick in until next year, but he's there. You have Matthew Stafford, another guy who unfortunately has been stuck in the worst organization in football, and that is the Detroit Lions. Carson Wentz, there's still talk about him wanting out, even though he got his coach fired. Then you have a serial backup, who's a very good backup, Teddy Bridgewater. You have Cam Newton. You have Ben Roethlisberger, who may or may not be back with the Steelers, and he's at the end of the career, no doubt about it. Drew Brees still hasn't retired. You have Kirk Cousins. There's been talk about that, and even Aaron Rodgers, which we talked about earlier in the week. I mean, what do you make of this whole movement and possibility of all these veterans going somewhere else?
I mean, you got a couple Hall of Famers on that list you just rattled off there. I mean, it's not every offseason you don't get this opportunity to land yourself a Deshaun Watson, which is why I think the Raiders absolutely have to kick the tires. But in regards to some of these other guys, you mentioned names like, Drew Brees, and who knows, it looks like he probably will retire, but Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's another big name out there. Whether or not the Packers are going to be dumb enough to let him go, I don't, you know, that's yet to be seen as well. But if you're in the market for a quarterback, this could be the offseason for you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we got callers lined up. Let's see what they have to say. We're going out into the ocean that is Raider Nation. And Edward, you're first up with Evan and Scott here on Silver and Black Today.
I mean, he's a great player. Any team would love to have him except for maybe six. But, I mean, he's going to get us, what, 10, 15, maybe 20% more as far as points scored? Still got the same defense, so got to build up that defense. Yeah, we'd love to have him, but, nah, you know, 10, 15% more points is not going to make that big of a difference as far as the final record. Maybe a 9-7 season? That's my thought. Peace, y'all.
Okay, Edward, well, I had a question for you, man, but I got you. You're out. But my question for Edward is, where's he getting 10 or 15% more points? Because that's what Deshaun Watson did in Houston with no top wide receiver, with no running back, with no discernible leading tight end. He had nothing there. Remember, we heard, and it was true, Derek Carr didn't have all the tools here. He didn't have wide receivers. He didn't have Darren Waller up until last year and have that breakout year. You put Deshaun Watson on the Raiders, and I think it's a lot more than 10 to 15% more, don't you, Evan?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think he's worth at least two wins by himself. And that's what great quarterbacks do in this league. And one other thing that a lot of people are making the comments out there that, you know, if you go out and you make a trade for a guy like Deshaun Watson, then you're sacrificing rebuilding the defense. And that's just not true. And, you know, I'm no capologist, but if I'm reading these numbers correctly, next season, 2021, Watson's cap hit is only $15.9 million. Now that jumps to 40 million. Right. But next season, or this offseason, the Raiders could still make some moves to free up some money, you know, whether it's a Trent Brown or getting rid of a Mariota. There's a lot of guys that they could move to free up some space. You can still address your needs on defense through free agency. Now, if you give up the draft pick, the first round draft pick, you won't be able to do it there, but they can do both. They can upgrade at the quarterback position and at least this offseason still make moves to improve that defense. It becomes a little bit more difficult as far as the cap is concerned in the following years, but you know, it can be done. Both can happen at the same time.
Yeah, I know. And you look at, remember, Deshaun Watson signed a 4-year, $156 million contract. Like Evan said, this year he's going to it's going to be a cap hit of just under $16 million. Next year it goes up to 40, then it goes up to 42, and then it starts to go back down. But there's also possibility, he doesn't have to, but if Deshaun Watson gets traded, I would imagine there'd be discussion around a deal to to maybe restructure, give him as much as he wants, but at the same time, maybe put some more money up front to minimize the cap hit if it's possible. I don't know. I have to talk to a capologist about that one. But, Edward, it's a great call, and I agree with you, man. You got to get the defense right. There's no question about that one. All right, we're going out to Raider Paul. Raider Paul, you're on with Scott and Evan here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, guys, great show. Well, I got to put my two cents in, and I love Carr. I've loved Carr since we drafted him. We finally got the tools around him. We got to make a few changes. I know with the offensive line, but what he did this year and what he was up against with the COVID and everything is amazing. Now, what I like to see is he does need help on the defense. I think that would take a big load off his shoulder, because he's the type of player that he thinks he can overcome that too. But we don't want to put all our marbles in the one bag for this guy. That the risk factor is just too high on how much he makes. Or maybe we can get Carr and Mariota to restructure and keep them both, because we know how valuable a backup quarterback is. We go with Watson, that's it. That's all we have. And if you take a look at Mack, where's he at? He's at home watching the football game like we are, Super Bowl. If you go with Donaldson, look how much they make. They're at home watching the Super Bowl. We've got a great pack of quarterback. And look at with Brady, defense. Peyton Manning, defense. Denver's defense is what won that Super Bowl. Maybe we could take some of that money, because it sounds like what's his name, J.J. Watts is going to be free. And let's think about Denver's end rusher. You know, he's going to be available too, I got a feeling. We all know who that is, Mr. MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and well, let me ask you this question, Raider Paul, because I agree with you on Derek Carr. I've said all along, I have no problem. I predicted last offseason that he would have a big year this year, in his first season in Las Vegas, and he did. He delivered pretty much everything they wanted him to. But would you argue that you believe that Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson?
You know what? He's a better pocket quarterback. I would argue that.
Okay.
And he's not a scrambler. We know. I mean, Derek Carr doesn't take off for some reason. I don't understand that. But that maybe that's not what the coach wants. But I can tell you this: Peyton Manning, Brady, even Rodgers, all these guys that have multiple rings—they're not runners. They're pocket quarterbacks, because that football is faster than their legs. And if we look at history, these guys that scramble, if they get hurt, that's it. And we're going to put $40 million into one investment. Man, it's like the stock market. You're better off having a really good mutual fund, stocks. You want a good portfolio. You don't want to put all your money in one, because if you lose it, it could be a long 10 years.
All right, Raider Paul, great take there. You want to go the safe route, and that makes sense. I understand that, although I would also remind you of the man who won the Super Bowl last year, and that's Patrick Mahomes, who moves around quite a bit. He is not as much a runner as, let's say, a Lamar Jackson, but he's definitely the kind of new model for the NFL quarterback. He does bring up a good point there, though, Evan. It's kind of like, you know what you have in Derek Carr. He's a very good quarterback. He's solid. He's a good leader, and obviously off the field, exceptional too. And so I can see where some fans think that might be the approach to go.
Yeah, and you know, that it seems to be a consistent theme that we're getting with all the callers, is that we all love Derek Carr. We love him as a person. We think he's a good quality quarterback in this league. But, you know, has he reached his ceiling? Like, is this the best we're going to see of Derek Carr? I mean, we don't really know that, but yeah. But it's the what if about Deshaun Watson. It's like the what if, like, if we bring in this, you know, you bring in a Cadillac, right, at the quarterback position, what this offense could be. So I think that that's what it comes down to, is like that what if factor. And the grass isn't always greener. I'll throw that out there. But I just think when you have an opportunity, I mean, it just does. I mean, think back in the history of the NFL. How often do you get a top five quarterback in the prime of his career who's out there on the trade market? It just doesn't happen. happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. And, I mean, he was the 12th player picked overall in the draft when he came out of Clemson. An exceptional talent. And, you know, it's fascinating to think about it. And, again, you know, I don't think it'll happen. But it's worth discussing because it is the topic of the day. And I think, you know, the business of the NFL, and I think our colleague here and your co-host at times, Mo Moten, said on a morning show yesterday, and I agree with him 100%, when you're 8-8, nobody's safe. Okay. So I don't care who you are. If you're on an 8-8 team and that team can upgrade, it doesn't matter what position it's at. They have to be open-minded to do it. And I think in the NFL, you have to, especially with a guy as dynamic as Watson. And I really believe too at play here, Evan, and with all due respect to our listeners, because I love our listeners across Raider Nation Radio, but also on this show specifically, and that is, I don't know how much people have watched him, because when I hear them talk, and I know, again, I'm biased, I'm a fan, but I watch him a lot, right? And I see how he plays the game. And so when people throw out, well, how many games did he win last year? I'm like, you're not watching. He didn't have all the tools. He didn't have, his complete offense was destroyed in front of him. So to me, if you follow the player, you look at the player, and that's what I would say. If you're on the fence about whether or not he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, just go watch film. I'm not even talking about him becoming a Raider. I'm just talking about in general with Deshaun Watson. Go watch film of him, not just highlights, but watch film, game film, what he does. Watch his press conferences. He's a good guy, and I think an excellent quarterback. All right, we're up against a break. When we come back, we're going to also talk about what I just mentioned in Mo's comment about, hey, when it's 8-8, nobody's safe. We're going to visit the interviews. There's been a slew of interviews. Of course, Vinny Bonsignor from the RJ and here on Raider Nation Radio, as well as Tashawn Reed at The Athletic. And then, of course, Eddie Pascoe over at the Raiders have interviewed Mike Mayock this week. And we'll go over sort of what he has to say and what insight we can take from that. You can also call us, give us your opinion on this whole Deshaun Watson thing. 702-365-9200. You're with Evan and Scott on Silver and Black today.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Low and cool, we're back here, Silver and Black today. Raider Nation Radio, the flagship of your Las Vegas Raiders. We're talking about, should the Raiders make the call? Should they make the call? Should they call about Deshaun Watson? What does it take? Evan says he would give up, no problem, Josh Jacobs and two number ones. Okay? So what would you guys do? Let us know. 702-365-9200 is the number. By the way, tomorrow's show, Friday, we're going to talk to Corey Benjamin from CBS Sports about this subject, and he had the Raiders as on the list of potential landing spots, so we'll ask him why he thinks so, and continue that conversation a little bit, as well as kind of all the quarterback movement in the NFL we could see this offseason. Then Michael Troiano, attorney Michael Troiano, will be with us. We're going to talk to him about just the ridiculously disgusting story we're seeing out of Seattle with Chad Wheeler, now the former Seahawks who cut him after he was arrested on suspicion of felony domestic violence. We'll do that. And sitting in with me will be my producer, David Stepanian, as he does sometimes on Friday. And we'll get to you guys as well on the phones. Speaking of the phones, we're going to go right out on the phones. We got another caller on the Raider Nation hotline. It is Eddie. Eddie, you're on with Scott and Evan. What's going on?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
Good, brother.
So, this is such a polarizing subject. I think I called in yesterday and I threw in my two cents about it, and it just seems to get bigger. It seems like all Raider fans, I don't understand where they get their logic from, talking about how Derek Carr, we all know that he's not the guy. Really? When has he ever been trade bait? When has he been out there that the Raiders are actually out there trying to trade? I mean, this notion is just idiotic to me. Is there 31 other teams, or with the exception maybe 30 other teams that wouldn't want to trade for Deshaun Jackson? It seems like, or Watson, I'm sorry. It seems like everybody thinks we're the only ones. It's going to, you know, the more he wants out of there, the more that price is going to be driving up. Mm-hmm. He has a no-trade clause. This guy has all control where he's going to go. Why does everybody automatically assume that just because we give up this person, that person, this draft picks, he's going to want to go to Vegas? I mean, Deshaun Watson was able to do what he was able to do because of the coaching that he had, allowing him to do what he's going to do. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to pan out when he comes here. Patrick Mahomes, everybody wants to come saying, okay, you know what? The guy's a great superstar player, no doubt about it. But he didn't come out of the gate being a superstar. He didn't come out of the gate with first-round draft picks or unestablished players. He had established players. He had an all-class tight end, a great running back, Kareem Hunt. Then he had a Tariq Hill. He has a great coaching staff, and it's continued. He has a coaching staff that specifically went out there to draft a player like him to build an office around him and his skill set and what they want to do. Why does people think all of a sudden he just comes out of the gate and it took no work at all? It takes a whole team. It takes management. It takes everything top to bottom in order to be able to build a successful team, a dynasty that it looks like, I hate to admit it, the Chiefs are going towards. But the sheer fact is that. Look at the Bills. What was Josh Allen not able to do? Is play effectively in a pressure game. What has Derek Carr and pressure games have been effectively able to do? Is play good. I mean, you just take this season, for example. The last four, he had four games in the season where the defense, he handed the defense the lead. Four games. There were one and three. What are people, if the numbers were switched, if there were 3-1, we would have been in the playoffs. Are we still talking about trading him? I mean, it almost seems like we were never happy with what we got. For years, we were complaining about Al Davis, mortgaging the future, wanting to ship out this player, that player, get rid of this coach, start all over, and we got nowhere but losing seasons. They didn't sign Gruden for 10 years to go in there and start trading your quarterback. They signed him for the long haul. You can't expect to trade Derek Carr and then just bring in a player, plug it in, and all of a sudden we're Super Bowl bound without even addressing your defense. It's going to take a lot to get that guy, especially after the season goes on. They're not going to just want to trade him for anything. They're going to want the house. Where's our draft capital to get him compared to other teams that are out there? Chicago. You don't think Chicago's going to back up and just say, you know what, we failed with him with the Mac trade. We still don't have a starting quarterback. Do we go after him or do we go after Stafford? I mean, this notion is just, it's idiotic just to look at one aspect and forget the other teams out there that are desperate to have a quarterback that we already have.
Eddie, let me ask you this, though, because great call, man. And you make so much sense on all the points, and I appreciate it so much. What I would say, though, is, and you're right about, hey, you don't just bring a guy in and everything's perfect, right? Especially when you have all the holes on the defense. But if you look at, and the way we've been talking about it is, if you look at what has been reported, now we don't know, right? You and I, we're not in the room. We have no clue what they're going to ask for. But if what's reported is true, is it's two number ones and a frontline player, one of your best players, that's the price. And at that point, and like I said, I don't think it'll happen. I don't think it has much chance of happening at all. To your point, you made so many valid points that I agree with, which includes there's going to be other people. And so why would he come to Las Vegas? Well, yeah, there's appealing things with Las Vegas, the Raiders, the tax situation, all that stuff. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's what's important to Deshaun Watson. The second piece there I'll say too, Eddie, is you have to, though, and it's not, and I really mean this because you listen to the show, you know, I'm not an anti-Derek Carr person. I don't go on rants about how he's the problem because I don't believe that. I've said it numerous times on this show. The Raiders can win with Derek Carr. I honestly believe that. That is my opinion. I'm not just saying it. So when you look at that, though, if you can upgrade at any position, to your point, it's about trade-offs. If you can upgrade at quarterback and you have to give up two first-round draft picks and, let's say, Josh Jacobs, do you do it? That's the question. And you're saying, no, that you should focus on the defense, right? Oh, we lost Eddie. Okay. Well, Eddie, man, it was a great call. And Evan, he brought up great points there. And Eddie knows his football. He calls in, he understands. And I think the whole point, too, about the Raiders, you know, during the last years of the Al Davis era, trading so much capital away and trying to chase things that weren't there. I think this is a little different. And again, it's not a disrespect to Eddie, because Eddie came with a really strong and valid point on everything he talked about. But I just think Deshaun Watson is an upgrade. I'm not saying it's going to happen again, but I think you have to at least consider it and see how far it can go.
Yeah, excellent call there by Eddie. And I think the thing that we all have to understand first and foremost is, if you think that Deshaun Watson is an upgrade to Derek Carr, that doesn't make you a Carr hater. You can still be loyal to Derek Carr, but think that Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback. And I think that's one of the big things that Raider fans are having a hard time wrapping their head around right now. That's just from what I'm hearing. And the other thing that I want to mention is, I just talked about how they can still address the defense this year by trading for Deshaun Watson. You can do both. And I think one of the other factors it's very underestimated right now is the addition of Gus Bradley. You have to keep in mind, I think this defense is going to take a step forward just because they have a better coordinator running the defense. I think we saw Paul Gunther was not a competent defensive coordinator. And even in the last couple of games, once he was out of the picture, I mean, the defense wasn't, much improved by any means, but it was a little bit improved. And I think when you're bringing in a guy like Gus Bradley, I think you take a couple more steps forward. And this defense doesn't have to be the 15th ranked defense. It doesn't have to be the 16th ranked defense. It just has to be a little bit better. They have to be a little bit more opportunistic. They got to force some turnovers and just get the ball back to the offense a little bit more and give them a couple more opportunities.
Yeah, and again, Eddie's call was fantastic. And I think Eddie's back because we lost him. He dropped out. So I want to let him answer to what we were talking about. Eddie, you there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good, man. So did you hear what Evan and I were talking about while we lost you on the phone?
Yes, a little bit. I caught the tail end of it, yes. So
okay.
you're asking if I would say do we not trade for him if there's the opportunity. That's the conundrum.
Yeah.
If there's a player that can instantly upgrade your team, then you always kick the tires on them. There is no doubt about it. It doesn't matter who the player is. My whole view on this is that bringing in Deshaun Watson does not guarantee we're going to be in the playoffs or a perennial playoff team. It takes time to build a whole team. You just brought in a brand new defensive coordinator. He's got to go there and look at the players, not only what he has, his defense, and what he wants, and what he can do with it. I mean, if we didn't have such a problem on defense, then I would say maybe there's an opportunity for us to say we can effectively try and go out there. But it's a double-edged sword. You go out and you try to get Watson and you fail and another team gets it. What does that say to Derek Carr? Does he come out and then all of a sudden be on fire now? Does he want to be there now? You don't want him there. That's not what you want. What's left over? That's my problem with all the fans that sit there and forget the business side of this whole deal. You fail and you get this guy. Now you have your quarterback that lives, breathes, and bleeds silver and black. And now you wanted to trade him for a pipe dream that it wasn't a for sure thing. I go back to what I was saying originally. He has a no trades clause. It takes two to tangle. Same deal with Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack, if he wanted to be here, he would have negotiated in good faith. Did they offer him a big contract? Yes. He never wanted to come in. Okay? Raiders historically have never, ever dealt with a player that doesn't want to come in and deal earnestly with them. That's not who they have. And Mark Davis learned that from his dad, and they're not going anywhere. So it wasn't all on John Gruden. A couple of years back, the left tackle from the Rams, okay, forget his name, they were ready to sign him. McKenzie was ready to sign him, wasn't he? And what did they do? Mark Davis came and nixed the deal because of the health issues with the knee. And then we ended up getting Donald Penn, and then we had a great 2016 season. So I love how we always focus and it's, it's this person's problem, but it's an organizational thing. Unless we take a directional lead on what we want to be, what kind of team we're going to want to be, what is perennial playoff team we're going to be, we can't always be sitting there, we got to trade this players and forget about the future, forget about first round picks. We don't do nothing with them anyways. But New England doesn't do that. Pittsburgh doesn't do that. Those teams don't do that. What do? They build the team through the draft. They get a couple of offensive, I'm sorry, and free agency players,
And then when they're one or two players away, they have no problem training a first-round pick. And then they get into the playoffs, and they're teams that are constantly playing for the chance to be in the Super Bowl. Why? Because it's an organizational difference
in
philosophy,
right?
And how they're going to go after it. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't commit to any team, any player, and without giving them continuity. And I think it's a
very
joke for
point.
Us to go back and forth and just say, no, he's no good. There's no way we're going to be able to. How do we know what he's capable of or not? We haven't given him a complete team. Once you give him a complete team, look at the Bucks. The Bucks had a complete team. They were a quarterback away from being a very good team. Who did they get? Tom Brady. The notion that Tom Brady was going to come here and we had a chance and all that. No, you don't know that. Tom Brady, why do you think Tom Brady chose that? It was the easiest path for him to the Super Bowl.
Listen, we got to move on, brother, but I listen, epic call, man. I appreciate you and your point of view on that stuff, and it's really well thought out, and I hope that Raider Nation listened to you too, because your points are incredibly valid and they are steeped in knowledge of the organization, and obviously not only are you a fan, but you also keep track of the business side and know how it works. So again, Eddie in LA, thanks, man. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to go to Mark in the Bay Area. Mark, you're on with Scott and Evan. What's going on today?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Scott. Your previous caller made a lot of good points. You know, my thing is there's going to be a lot of teams out there that are a lot more quarterback desperate than we are. I mean, I look at Derek Carr. I'm like you. We can win with Derek Carr. He's already proven that when he's had a halfway decent defense, like when Khalil was with us that 2016 season. You know, there's a lot. These teams that are going to be desperate are going to throw a lot more draft picks than we are, and as they should. I mean, Derek Carr's a top 10 quarterback. I would say Watson's a top 5 quarterback, but there's no way that we're going to be in the running versus other teams who are going to throw, you know, much higher.
Oh. We lost Mark in the Bay Area, but Mark, I got you, man. I hear what you're saying, and you bring up good points. You're right. I think that, listen, it's going to be a mad rush for Deshaun Watson. So yeah, teams and their chances for getting them, especially if you were in the situation with the Raiders where you don't have to get a quarterback versus somebody who has to get a quarterback. I agree with you in that one. Okay, Raider Loke, you're on with Scott and with Evan. What's going on, Raider Loke?
Hey, what's up, guys? Let me just preface my call by saying that I am not a Carr supporter or a Carr hater. I am kind of in between. I support anybody that wears the silver and black. I don't attach myself personally to any player because at the end of the day, it's a business. But if you were to tell me that we could get Deshaun Watson, which would be, I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys would agree that he's a lot better quarterback than Derek Carr. And I know Aaron Rodgers is also in the mix of maybe not potentially coming back. So we could replace Carr with either Watson or Rodgers, I'd be all for it, while also improving our defense. And I say that because I remember you guys mentioning last week that we already got a lot of young players on the defense side of the ball. I believe coaching and the scheme was the issue. So why are we going to continue to add young players on the defense side of the ball? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if off the 17th pick we go offensive tackle or another wide receiver if either one of them falls to us at number 17. But I believe that at the end of the day, on the defense side of the ball, it could be fixed with coaching, and I believe it'll be fixed on free agency. I mean, our holes are on defensive tackle and on safety. Everywhere else, we kind of got Nick Kukowski, we got Corey Littleton. We got a lot of young players from Abram to Mullen, from Arnett and Farrell to Farrell Crossy. So we got a lot of young potential. So where I believe coaching will get that fixed along with free agency. So if we can sacrifice a little bit of our future to Derek Carr's not getting any younger. He's already, I believe, 30. I mean, if we can replace him with a Mahomes caliber type player with Watson, I mean, I'm all for it while also improving the defense. I mean, if we could have both of them, that'd be great. So that's just my two cents on that.
Raider Loke, great call, man. We appreciate it. Sounds somewhat like what we were saying earlier, Evan and I at least. All right, it is Rich. You're next up here on Raider Nation Radio with Scott and Evan.
Hey, what's up, Scott? What's up, Evan?
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Raider Loke took a lot out of what I was going to say. You know, Derek Carr, okay, I'm not the biggest Derek Carr supporter. I don't believe we've gotten our money's worth when we signed him, when he was the highest paid player in the league. It is kind of what it is. not everything is his fault. I mean, people say, oh, well, he gave the defense in three games, the defense coughed up. Well, I can name about three games where the offense just, just wasn't there, or Derek Carr staring down things. We can go back and forth all day on that.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is this guy is pretty much a unicorn, and Derek Carr, he's not garbage. He's not elite either. You know, he's good. And the type of situation you're going to have to put around him is almost, I mean, it's almost impossible. You can't get a top 10 offense, top 10 defense, and then you're paying a quarterback. You know, people, you know, Vinny's talking about giving him an extension. You're never going to be able to build the team he needs to win the Super Bowl. This year was just make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and it was short. And we can blame everybody and everything, you know. But if you have a chance to get special at the most important position in football, you have to do it. And if it takes three or four first-rounders, oh, well.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Rich, great call. I appreciate it, man. Have a great night. And Evan, I think that's what you've been saying all day online and on this show, which is in the NFL. Look, if you can upgrade a quarterback, which is the most important position, then you have to at least think about it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. And again, I don't think it will in the case of the Raiders. But you have to at least make the call, or at least explore whether or not it's possible.
Yeah, I think he hit it right on the money there. I love the way he phrased it. If you got a chance to get special at the most important position in football, you have to at least explore it. Now, he said three or four first rounds. I don't know about four first
rounds. He likes Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, we started the conversation with two first round picks and a very, very good player. It's going to take more than that. It's going to probably take a second rounder, maybe even a fourth rounder. And who knows? It's going to get expensive because, as we've been talking about all day long, there's going to be a lot of teams calling up the Texans trying to get a deal done. But again, I just think if you look back at the history of the teams who are consistently winners, you know, I think it was the caller we had, Eddie, he mentioned organizations like the Patriots and the Steelers who are consistently winners. Well, guess what? They had Tom Brady and Big Ben as their quarterback. So that's a big
reason
why.
Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I know Belichick plays a big role in that, but the common denominator with all those teams is Tom Brady and Big Ben. They're Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and I think Deshaun Watson right now has the looks of a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
There you go. All right, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, we'll talk to Vinny Bonsignore. We'll get his opinion on this. Vinny has impeccable sources throughout the NFL and has covered the sport and, of course, covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal and his show In the Huddle coming up next here at 4 o'clock. You're with Evan and Scott on Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here's your host, Scott Culbranson.
All right, we're back. Oh, yeah, little Angus Young bringing us in, right? AC/DC on this Thursday, baby. Let's go. All right. It's been a busy day. A lot of talk about Deshaun Watson. And let me tell you, Evan, I'm just always astonished and really feel so lucky at the quality of the listeners on Raider Nation Radio and those that call in. I know not everybody calls in. Sometimes I hear from them digitally on Twitter and other avenues. They private message. Some of them don't like to go on the air. But the quality of the folks that called in, I mean, Mark in the Bay Area, Raider Loke, Eddie in L.A., of course, and going back to Brian and all these guys, Raider Mike, it's just remarkable to me how good these listeners are and what they have to say. I mean, they've thought this out, and they all come with great, well-informed opinion, which is why Raider Nation, it's the best fan base there is.
Absolutely, and the callers have been bringing it today, and I love it. It's been really making the show interesting, and this is why I knew Raider Nation Radio was going to be successful, because we do have the best fans in the game, and it's about damn time that we got our own radio station.
By the way, I got to give a shout out to Pat and Chris from the Dark Rises Raiders podcast. I know Vinny's been on the podcast before. I was on last night. Had a great time with them, and they even did a segment. Pat did a segment on music where he knows I'm a big Van Halen fan, so he was asking me, comparing guitarists and asking me who I would choose over, like, you know, Eddie Van Halen and Eric Eric Clapton and trying to make it real difficult for me to make choices. So good time. If you haven't listened to their podcast too as well, go check it out. But I hear, I think Vinny is in. We're going to Mobile, Alabama. Vinny, how you doing? And have you heard about this whole Deshaun Watson thing?
It's definitely the talk of the Senior Bowl, among other things. But yeah, you know, I'm hearing a lot of Jets talk. Out here. Yes, I'm hearing a lot of Deshaun possibly going to the Jets. Obviously, that seems to be his preferred choice, you know, destination. And he has a lot of power in this whole situation. He doesn't appear to be somebody that is going to say something and then not follow through on it. So if the, you know, Houston Texans are going to play the waiting game and, you know, call his bluff, I don't think that he's going to fall for that. And I think that if push came to shove, I think he would sit out if need be. I think he's at that point now. I mean, anything is salvageable. So with the new coach there, Deshaun says, hey, you know, let's talk it out. Let's at least I'll give you an opportunity to convince you why I need to stay. You know, that might be one thing, and there's always that possibility. But the way it sounds right now, I don't think he wants to be in Houston anymore, obviously. And I think he's going to force his way out of Texas.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. And what we talked about, you know, we're not trying to quote-unquote clickbait, although it's on the radio, so there's no clicks involved here. But we asked the question, though, if you're the Raiders, do you just call? Because I think to me, look, I don't advocate for it. I've said all show long, Vinny, by the way, that I believe in my heart of hearts the Raiders can win and will win with Derek Carr. Derek Carr's coming off a great season where he's improved. He's done everything they've asked him to. So I'm not advocating trading for anyone over Derek Carr. But when you look at Deshaun Watson, who I think is going to be one of those generational quarterbacks, I think you owe it to yourself and to your organization to at least inquire. And I don't think the Raiders will be in the hunt. But do you agree with that? We've had 9 callers say that they at least make the call, and we had 3 that say they don't, that it could cause problems if they made the call, although I don't know. And you know, Vinny, you have so many great insiders in the NFL. Calls happen all the time. Teams inquire. Doesn't mean they go anywhere. But is this a situation where if you're one of the 25 teams that don't have an Aaron Rodgers or a Patrick Mahomes, that you at least make the call and see what happens?
I'm going to tell you a story right now. Mitch Kupchak, the Lakers general manager back in the day. It was the night before free agency, and back in the day, and it still is kind of like this, where the stroke of midnight, that's when you're, you know, to start the official day of free agency, or at least when you can talk to players, it would happen at the stroke of midnight, right? And so I'm talking to Mitch Kupchak, and he tells me how, and this was during the latter part of Michael Jordan's career with the Bulls, right? And every year, basically, you know, if you look back, Michael Jordan signed a bunch of 1-year deals toward the end with the Bulls. That's kind of how they rolled back then. And so, you know, Mitch would make his annual call to Michael Jordan's agent, he told me. I'm like, why would you? I mean, he goes, Vinny, I don't want to ever be down the road. And it's almost funny that we should be talking about this now, because now he works for Michael Jordan, you know, in Charlotte as the general manager of the Hornets. But he said, he goes, I don't want to run into Michael Jordan at a party 10 years from now and say, how come you guys never called, man? I always wanted to play for you, but you never called. You never made. So, you know, on the off chance that, hey, I want to come to the Lakers, I'm going to always make that call. And most of the time, it's just going to be to get, you know, no thank you. Right. But at the very least, I'm doing my due diligence. I don't want to be that guy down the road where, man, if you would have just called me, I could have been a Laker all those years. So, you know, take it back to the Raiders. Of course you make that call. You have to make that call. You're in the business of making your team better. This is not for the faint of heart. There's no, you know, feelings. We're all adults here. Everybody's a professional. You understand that this is a business, and that the business that you're in is to make the team better. And everybody, I've talked to so many general managers in all sports who say this: look, everyone that we have under contract, whether it's a baseball team with a chameleon guys, you know, between the minor leagues and the big league team, everybody is an asset. And you can help us win in so many different ways, whether it's on the field for us, as a trade piece for us, whatever the case might be. That's what everybody that's under contract represents, a way to get better. And sometimes it's as a trade asset. It's sometimes it's, you know, to move, to improve. So, yeah, you have to make that call.
Yeah, and that's what I put it in my own terms. I was telling Evan during the break, I said, listen, you know, I have this great time slot here on Raider Nation Radio, but let's say a guy that I really respect, he's on the channel all the time, you know him, Jason Fitz. Let's say Jason Fitz decides to move back to Las Vegas, and the station says, hey, we can put you 2 to 4, and they got to bump me to a weekend slot or something. Hey, I would understand, right? I mean, believe it or not, I'm not the best talk show host in the world. So I understand that it's a business and sometimes it happens. And like I said, Vinny, I think the chances of him coming to the Raiders are very, very slim. So I wouldn't entertain it a lot or get excited about it a lot. And again, I think Derek Carr has done a fine job and will continue to do so as well. Evan, I know you had a question for Vinny on the Senior Bowl, right?
That's right. And Vinny is going to be on with me on the podcast tonight. So, Vinny, I look
double
forward
duty
to speaking to you. That's right. But, you know, you've been out in Mobile all week here. You took in your third and final practice of the week. Overall, if you had to pick one big winner on the offense and one big winner on the defense, who would it be?
There's a couple of guys on the offense. Dwayne Eskridge, this wide receiver from Western Michigan, has just been putting on an absolute show, blazing fast, super polished route runner, is basically unguardable. Cade Johnson, the South Dakota State wide receiver, I thought has done a really good job. Wisconsin Whitewater offensive lineman, Quinn Miners, he's just been the hit of the Senior Bowl. He wears a jersey that's cut off at the midriff, so the big gut
is
hanging
picture
out. But he has just been dominating, like, dudes. It's been a blast to watch him handle his business, both as a guard and as a center. So he's showing that he can be, a guy that can handle both positions. I think he's a day one starter in the NFL. The tenacity and toughness that he brings. I mentioned Rashad Weaver from Pitt. Has been doing a really good job as an edge rush player. I was looking at the safeties today. I'm going to get to a couple of guys here. That Richie Grant from Central Florida.
That's my guy. You saw him.
Has looked really, really good, and I think he's moving up the draft boards. Hamsaw Nasrullahdin. Mm-hmm. Nasrullahdin. I'm just going to pronounce it like that. There's some difficult names at the Senior Bowl this year, I have to say. So I feel like I'm, you know, writing about, back in the day, you used to, you know, cover like the World Baseball Classic. And there's some names, whether you're talking about the Netherlands or just all across the board, you better have your glasses on and you better be able to spell it correctly. But anyway, the Florida State safety who missed. He played only 2 games last year because he hurt his knee in 2019, toward the end of 2019. And so he comes into 2020, and it looked like he re-injured it or suffered a little bit of a setback. So only played 2 games this year. But he's shown that he is completely healthy now, 6'4", 220-ish, can move, can hit, has shown really good coverage skills here. I think he's a guy that can project either as a box safety or as a deep safety. So he's a guy that I've definitely had my eye on. So those are the guys that, for me, there's been a bunch of guys, but, you know, just off the top of my head right now, those guys have really helped themselves in this draft.
Vinny Bonsignor, of course, covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review Journal, who's done amazing work this week. If you've missed his work on the Senior Bowl, go back and read it because you won't find any better. He also comes up next in the huddle at 4 o'clock. Vinny, before I let you go, too, did you get a chance? One of the guys that I've seen a lot of buzz around, and I know it's not the highest priority for the Raiders, but at running back, Larry Roundtree out of Missouri, I've been seeing a lot of good buzz about him. Did you get a chance to watch him?
Yeah, and there's been some really good backs over here. Obviously, Najee Harris is he's the real deal. But I wouldn't be surprised, and it might behoove the Raiders at some point in the draft to go ahead and grab somebody that they feel can be a bona fide second piece to Josh Jacobs. You know, with the way the running backs are valued these days, there's really good value that you can get, you know, in that third, even fourth round. So I think if they're patient and they wait the draft out, there's going to be some, you know, some quality down further in the draft that, that I think can, of guys that could come in here and really help. We've seen that across the league, you know, how guys, just look at the Rams, you know, with Cam Akers and oh, yeah, Henderson, you know, young guys that you're able to get on the field really early and produce for you. And that's the case across the league. So, even though it doesn't appear to be a big need, it could be a sneaky big need because, you know, they've got Devontae is going into a free agent year, so they don't really have anyone.
Yeah, they need a number two.
Contract. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Vinny, listen, have a great show. Make sure you listen to Vinny. Come up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to you, man. Take care.
All right, have a good one, you guys. Talk to you later, Evan.
Yep.
All right. Evan, thanks for joining me today, buddy.
No problem. Scott, I'm watching the replay of the Senior Bowl practice. Your guy, Richie Grant, just had an interception.
There you go. All right.
Go get him, Raiders. Go get him.
Make sure you check out Evan's Just Pod Baby podcast. For Evan, for DeMond Cotton, back in the studio, this is Scott Colbranson. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.